And we welcome you to another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Interrupto C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. With me, as always, is Tara Wellman from Birds on the Black and at Tara Wellman on the Twitters. It's winter warm-up weekend, which means all the players come to St. Louis and show how much they have practiced their cliches over the winter. Not a whole lot of news coming out of St. Louis this weekend, it doesn't feel like, but it's good to see the guys. Good to hear what they've been doing, I guess. And surprisingly, everybody thinks they're going to get a starting job and everybody's really pumped about the season. I just did not see that happening. Tara, the one bit of news, real actual news that comes out this week is that the Cardinals have signed Matt Wieters back to another one-year deal. He's going to make $2 million, which I think is a slight increase from what he did last year. You know, there was a lot of talk about him coming back, and the Cardinals really wanted him back, but if he could find a place that, you know, he could play once more than once a month, so he might go there. Apparently, there was not that opportunity, and it's I guess it's really good to have him back as a really solid backup for Yadier Molina.
First of all, winter warm-up is quite possibly the most misleading name of anything of all time, as evidenced by the fact that there is almost always an ice storm covering the entire Midwest the week preceding or the weekend of winter warm-up. So,
which is one of the reasons I've never covered winter warm-up, because driving up to that, and no, it's not happening.
Yeah, no, I was supposed to be at the caravan event in Peoria that also ended up. It happened. I just had no safe way to get there in the storm that then ended up in St. Louis as well. So that's my first takeaway from all of that. Second, Matt Wieters. Yeah, it's great to have him back. I think that we all saw a distinct difference in just sort of the confidence level of what happens if, as far as Yadier Molina is concerned, when the backup was Wieters. And that's not a slight to anyone who's been in that role the last few years. It's just the reality of the quality upgrade and the experience that Wieters brought to the table as a former starting major league catcher. He has, you know, legit credentials that make him a guy who's there as more than just the backup plan in case something goes terribly wrong, or on the off chance you actually convince Yadier Molina to take a day off. So there was value to the fact that he could be used as a pinch hitter at times. There was value to the fact that he could play consistently days in a row if Yadier Molina ended up injured and needed some time away and you didn't see a noticeable drop off. So obviously he came up big in some offensive moments that made an impact on St. Louis Cardinals fans. But I think just having that consistency, having that experience as the co-pilot, it's not anywhere close to that with Yadier Molina, but you know, we can hope that maybe he'll allow for a little more rest here and there is beneficial in having Matt Wieters back. So I'm excited about it. I think, like you said, there were a lot of questions. Why hasn't this happened yet? And I think the answer to that is Matt Wieters may have wanted a little more than he had last year in the playing time department, but it worked out well for him. It worked out well for St. Louis. And I think it's good all around for the Cardinals to have him back.
Yeah, I think so too. I do. If this was a team with a regular catcher, I wouldn't, because I think that Andrew Kisner is probably at a spot where he needs to have some major league experience. But again, if Yadier Molina is only going to give you, you know, 10 at bats a month, I think Andrew Kisner does better to be at Memphis and then to rather to get that.
I'll be interested. I did see something this weekend. I have no idea where it came from or who said it. I'm sorry. That the 26th man on the roster, the Cardinals were at least toying with the idea of that being a third catcher. Now, that seems to me like an even worse role for Andrew Kisner, because then he's the third man down on a major league roster that barely needs the second guy. But there is that option, and I would be curious to know what they do with it as far as what the best place is for Kisner to utilize his skill set, but also, you know, not let him lose any of the timing and the just readiness from playing every day.
Yeah, I know your cohort over there at Birds on the Black, Kyle Reese, has kind of beating that drum a little bit this winter about this idea that that extra spot could let Andrew Knizner come to the major leagues and but and maybe be the bat that they could, you know, a guy that pinch hit more regularly, a guy that could play maybe a couple of positions and give him a little bit more experience at the big league level. But, you know, you do run the risk and maybe less with Mike Schilt, maybe not. I think we've jury's still kind of out on exactly how Mike Schilt's going to take care of these guys that you're right. He gets down to Andrew Knizner's here. So that means we can pinch hit Matt Wieters and not worry about it, you know, because he's there. And in the meantime, there's this fine layer of dust that, gets over Andrew Knizner until he sneezes and it's just a big mess. But so I don't know. I mean, it's a possibility. It really is going to be interesting to see how they or what they do with that 26th spot. Mm-hmm. You know, we've kind of gotten used to this 13 pitchers, 12 hitters thing. I would hope that they would go back to at least, you know, adding another hitter, but you know, it feels like the way baseball is these days, maybe you can't do it because I don't think I've ever seen it official that the three batter minimum's coming. So you don't have as many specialists, but you know, at some point in time, it's probably going to have, you're going to have 14 pitchers in a game that takes 5 hours because everybody's making pitching changes. But for right now, hopefully it's another bat and it will be interesting to see if Andrew Knizner might get it because, you know, again, Yadier Molina doesn't seem like he's going anywhere. And that's maybe something that we'll hear about a little bit tomorrow. I assume he's on the docket for tomorrow, but this is technically Yadi's last year on his contract, a contract that when he signed it, he said he would retire at the end of it. I don't think you could find a Cardinal fan that believes that's going to happen, but
think you could find a Molina who believes that.
No, I am fairly sure Benji doesn't. And he's probably been pretty adamant about it on the Two Birds on a Bat show. I haven't heard it recently, but so is that what we see this? I mean, are we going to see a Yadi extension in the spring? I mean, the spring training extension is kind of a tradition by this point, but it feels like maybe there's nobody else that's going to get one except for Yadi this spring.
Yeah, that would be the only thing that really made a lot of sense to me. I think we're all kind of just biding our time to see what the Cardinals do with Jack Flaherty. But as far as an extension for Molina, it does sort of feel like it's inevitable. It feels like it's only a matter of time. I'll be very curious to see what that deal looks like, what kind of model they're going to shape that after, because I know we've talked about a little bit. I've heard others say, you know, maybe he does kind of what Adam Wainwright has done and goes a year at a time. I don't know if I think that Molina's that guy. I think that if he's going to say, no, I can still play, he's going to think that he's going to be just as capable a year from now as he is 2 years from now and vice versa. So I can't imagine him not wanting a little more insurance than that as far as what the plan is for him. But, you know, I guess a lot of that depends on just in the quiet at home, how long he thinks he wants to keep competing at this level. So it's I don't even know how to really frame what that would look like, except to say I fully expect it to happen at some point.
Yeah, and I will say, as we have seen for a number of years, Yadier Molina has more power than anybody, it feels like.
Yeah.
And if Yadier Molina wants to go year to year, he can still play 5 more years.
Oh, of course.
You know, I mean, it's not like he's going to get to win a contract and say, oh, I want to play next year. And the Cardinals are going to say, oh, that's okay. We don't really need you. You know, I mean, because Yadier Molina, as much as he says he loves the Cardinals, and I believe he does, don't get me wrong, but I also think he's got enough spite. I don't know if that's the right word, but if the Cardinals said, no, we don't think you can play anymore, he would find another team and then hit like 380 or something like that just to prove that he wasn't done. So, I think he can play however he wants to. And I think you're right. I think it's very, very interesting to see how the contract gets worked up here in the spring, assuming it doesn't get into the season. Cause I can't imagine we'll get to like the All-Star break and not know that Yadi's coming back next year.
Right.
That being said, if Yadier Molina would tell people in the spring that he's retiring. Not necessarily the spring, but whatever year it may be, he may be the first Cardinal in quite some time to be worthy of one of those, you know, league-wide farewell tour type things. Because I think that Yachty's kind of got that kind of cachet that I think if he said, you know, this spring I'm going to retire, I think we'd see a lot of that.
I was just going to ask how you felt about farewell tours before you even before you even went there. Yeah, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of them in general. I think it's a little, like, here's the thing. They're playing in Cincinnati. We all know that Reds fans hate Yadier Molina. So now they're going to be like cool with giving him gifts and celebrate. I don't know how that works. Like, there's a part of my brain that just doesn't really find a lot of that particularly genuine. And there's some level of, I don't know, sometimes it just feels a little cliche. But if there was someone deserving of it in whatever terms you want to think of that, yeah, I think Yadier Molina would be that kind of guy just because of the years and because of all of the memories that every team has of Yadier Molina at this point, for better or worse. So it would be interesting as a player that is as adored as he is in St. Louis and as despised by other fan bases as he is, it would be interesting to see what the reaction was and how that kind of played up the kind of dynamic between Yadier Molina and opposing fans, because we know he's not afraid to stoke those fires a little bit whenever he gets the chance. So I don't know. I don't know what that would look like. I don't know how it would go. I think that if there was a guy who would be comfortable with that sort of spotlight, that sort of attention, maybe it would be Molina. But I'm not the biggest fan of farewell tours overall.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen too many of them. It feels like a lot of the most recent ones have been in the American League, so we haven't had to necessarily deal with them. And it really has to be a player that, for the most part, spent one time with one, his career with one team, I feel like. Right. You know, it's not a, you know. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's always kind of interesting to see what they get. I think it would be hilarious if Cincinnati got him like a Brandon Phillips bat, or maybe a picture of the big brawl.
You know, Milwaukee, signed by Brandon Phillips.
Yeah, signed by Brandon Phillips. You know, Milwaukee could get him, you know, a picture of that time where he, you know, completely took his uniform off at home plate. I mean, there's, you know, Yadi's got great moments with everybody. Yeah. You know, the Mets, I'm sure the Mets would love to acknowledge Yadier Molina. I'm not really sure if it would be appropriate for public consumption, but I don't know. I think you're right. I think it's definitely much more about the players and the respect they have for the person versus, you know, the fan base. But yeah, I do that in front of the fans. So you're right. But the reaction of other places would be, well, that's worth it right there. I think for us that, you know, watching what other fan bases do for Yachty,
it might fuel that competitiveness in Yachty or Molina though, where he just wants to prove people wrong. That he'd be the one to do that whole farewell tour and then be like, psych, I'm back.
Also possible. I will say, you know, I guess the last one, Ozzie got that in his last little bit of his career, because he announced his retirement midseason. And he got a little bit of that. But, you know, that was also the year Yachty had a pretty good, I mean, not Yachty, Ozzie had a pretty good last year because he got fired up about Royce Clayton and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, maybe that's that little extra motivation you need to get Yachty to have a better season. I don't know. It also means that Yadier Molina would have to announce that he was retiring beforehand. And I don't know if Yadier does that.
Yeah. I don't know if Yadier ever actually thinks he's going to retire.
Yeah. Yachty is going to eventually, he's going to, like, at 45, he's going to say, I'm going to take a year off and then let's see what we can do. And he just won't actually come back, you know.
You know, because I always relate everything in baseball to the other half of my personal and professional life in figure skating. Michelle Kwan was my childhood hero, and she was one that stuck around in the sport way longer than most of her peers did. And everybody was constantly every year, is this going to be last year? Is this going to be the last year? Is this going to be the last year? And she was another one that it was kind of like, she's never actually going to say the words I'm retiring now, but she got hurt and had to not skate for a year and then just never came back. Yeah. That to me is more the Yadier Molina likely scenario than him actually deciding to be done.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
Not that I'm advocating for Yadier Molina to get hurt, to be clear. No. Just saying that might be the only way that it actually happens.
Right. Again, winter warm-up was not necessarily newsworthy, but maybe one thing that did kind of stand out came out today. Derek Gould, who has been diligent about letting people know that Matt Carpenter has a trade clause, no trade clause now. Not opening day now,
right?
In case you've got any questions about
today, right this moment,
right.
In effect,
even though there's been a national report otherwise, that's all right. It's now, it's in the paper, everything
since November.
We've been diligent about this. But then he asked Matt Carpenter, would he waive that no trade clause? And Matt Carpenter said something to the effect of, if it helps the organization, I would be willing to do that. Which is fascinating. You know, Terry, you and I were talking about this beforehand. Fascinating to think that he would want to help this organization to the point of removing himself from it, and seeing the Cardinals do well without him. This is not something you see out of people, and especially not professional athletes very often.
Yeah, it was a strange quote, one that I read and went, oh, wait, what? Because that's a brand of loyalty that seems counterintuitive to the way that, like, anyone thinks about the business of baseball, right? We've spent so much time talking about how the loyalty in baseball has been lost to the business of baseball. And for better or worse, that's just how it is. People are going to go where the money is, and they're going to go where whatever. And then all of a sudden, you have Matt Carpenter, who, keep in mind, was essentially accused of being a bad teammate by not by his teammates, but by other people talking about the team last year, saying that he would do what was best for the team, even if that what meant like going away. I don't know. It just is such a strange sort of way of thinking about that from someone who, I guess, feels like there's the city and the team have made such an impact on him that he wouldn't want to stand in the way of their success. And I guess there's a level of self-awareness there to know that Nolan Arenado is better than me. But also just a very strange, I don't know if it's refreshing or just confusing, level of humility that almost comes off as a little bit of, I don't know. It almost has a little underlying sense of defeat. Like, well, if it's not me, then I'm not going to hold them back. But I don't know. It was just a very weird quote to me in a positive way, in that I think it reflects well on Matt Carpenter. But just a strange way overall to kind of respond to that scenario. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little different because no matter who takes on Matt Carpenter, they're paying him. He's getting his money,
right,
and things of that nature. But it's almost like saying, if somebody came up to you and said, you're fired, you know, and you're just like, oh, well, if it's going to make this organization better, let me pack up my stuff and go. I mean, I don't think anybody really does that. It's like, you know, well, I'm glad you're going to be great, but what's in it for me? So yeah, it is interesting. It also makes you wonder if it's not – Derek Gould was not the first person to ask him that. you know, may, I think if you want to be conspiracy theory or try to read tea leaves,
you could argue. What else would we do? It's winter.
I try. I don't have anything better to do. What about you? That you could say that the Cardinals have already maybe broached that with him. And he's given it some thought. It didn't just kind of come out of nowhere. Now, I don't know that that's the case. I think that his answer was something that you could hear from a player when he, you know, first mentioned it versus thinking about it. But, you know, who knows? Maybe he's thought, you know, maybe the Cardinals have said, also, if you stay here, you're not playing. You know, and that is one of the hammers that the Cardinals have for either Matt Carpenter or Dexter Fowler is, look, you can stay, but we're not guaranteeing you playing time. If you want to, you know, have a better shot at, you know, playing regularly, you might want to think about waiving that. Now, again, I don't know if they've done that. I don't know if they've needed to do that. I'm sure they haven't, but that is a weapon in their arsenal.
Yeah. And I would say, I can't obviously confirm this, but I don't think if the Cardinals were going into any sort of negotiation where they were going to have to trade Carpenter or Fowler or whatever it is, I don't think they're going into that not knowing what their answer is going to be, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think they're dealing with Colorado and saying, well, how about we give you Matt Carpenter and Dakota Hudson and a prospect, and then having to go back to Carpenter and be like, so they agreed to this, but will you? Yeah. Like, I don't think that they're going to be blindsided by the inability to complete their half of the deal. So if there is any of that conversation happening, that said, we have in the past seen the Cardinals front office be really bad at communicating with players. So that might just be the way that I would want to go about it in that sort of negotiating process. I don't know that, you know, we would expect the front office to communicate that effectively with the players based on past experiences in that regard. So, you know, maybe I just said all of that and it's actually the furthest thing from the truth, but that's how I would do it.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. But then I also think about what we did 2 years ago with Giancarlo Stanton. Obviously, the Marlins didn't ask him, you know, and it was fairly clear pretty early on that he wasn't going to waive that. And, you know, I guess there's a little bit of difference there because, you know, I don't know, maybe there's a little bit of difference because they thought maybe they could talk him into waiving it. And instead of having the guy that's in your control that you could, you know, hey, pick up a phone and say, hey, what do you think about, are you a big snow guy? Do you like the skiing? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's also some part of me that thinks that was as much leverage on their part as anything. Because if you have a deal in place with the Cardinals, and then even if you know it's not going to go through, you can then look to the next team that you know he will accept a trade to and tell him, okay, well, that's what you have to beat. True. So I don't know all the details of how those things work, but I mean, everyone's trying to play their own angles, right? So, you know, maybe Matt Carpenter doesn't know that he's in the conversation for being traded. That could get weird if he's not traded. And then you're like, well, you're still here. But I don't think these guys are stupid. And they've all been asked about Nolan Arenado. And I think that Matt Carpenter's smart enough to look around and go, huh, that guy plays the same position as me. Yeah. Better. So I should be prepared for this. So maybe they haven't talked to him directly about it, but I think he's probably aware of the reality of the situation if he were to be asked. I'm sure he had to kind of have an idea of what he would say to something like that at this point in his career.
Yeah. And you're right. They may not have, because Jumbo Zalek pointed out to in the fan question and answer yesterday that, you know, kind of stuff's the same if we said, you know, if he starts naming some names that might be traded and then they don't get traded, that's a little bit awkward in the clubhouse. Not to mention all the future negotiations and things that they may have to deal with those players. So, you know, they're not going to come out and say, hey, we're, you know, this is a guy that's on the trading block or anything of that nature. And you wouldn't expect them to. But you know what those internal discussions are. Yeah. I don't know. I think it would behoove them, though, you're right, to say, hey, Matt, you know, just for our information, you know, is there a place, you know, would you waive this? Are there places you wouldn't waive this to? Right. So we don't, you know,
and that's get into the thing,
some sort of conversations.
That's the thing with the no trade clause that I think I often have to remind myself, and it seems like we kind of have to throw it back out there, that no trade clause doesn't mean that he won't accept a trade. It just gives mm-hmm. him all the leverage. It gives right. him all the control of where he does or doesn't end up. So it might even be a situation that they haven't talked about it in regards to this specific offseason or this specific move, but there's perhaps an unspoken understanding, maybe something that they have communicated that, like, there are places I don't want to go. So in that circumstance, I'm going to turn it down. But it just gives the player some control over what happens next in their career, even if they, even if they don't have all the control, right? They're still employed by the team, but it gives them a little bit of leverage on their end as well. So that's that's what the no trade clause does. It's not just an across the board, it can't be done.
It's also oftentimes a moneymaker for them as well, because a team will buy out that no trade clause or some sort of incentive for them to waive it. So that's, again, we're not any closer to a Nolan Arenado trade. It doesn't feel like it felt like at the beginning of the week that we were kind of making some progress in that regard.
Yeah. And then Houston happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Houston kind of ruined baseball. Yep. Which that's a whole thing. And I know y'all have talked about it on Terps quite a bit and may again this week. I don't know. And it is very, not to talk about necessarily about all of what Houston did, because I think that's been well hashed, but I think that just lets us revisit the hacking scandal in Chris Correa a little bit. And again, I feel like what we have seen and what even was reported at the time is the Cardinals didn't push it to find out if Houston had stolen proprietary information. Chris Correa said he found some proprietary information. Of course, then he went back and once he was in, started digging on his own stuff. And I think that's part of the problem too. If the Cardinals had, and I think there was some loyalty there to not wanting to have Lanao get, an investigation within a couple of years of taking over down there. But, if they had done that, who knows what would have happened. Maybe things would have been, it just boils down to that situation in Houston, the whole atmosphere, all the stuff that they have done just got so toxic. It's kind of what you expect. The negative stereotypes of people that are sabermetrically inclined, where they just look at the numbers and don't look at anything else. And it doesn't matter how you get to those numbers. You just have to have them. It's kind of sad to think that, that was kind of put upon by a guy that came up, got into baseball with the Cardinals and in some regards should have picked up at least what this organization has shown to be, the morals that they have.
Yeah. And it's interesting. You have to be careful to put any one or any team or organization on any sort of pedestal because boy, let me tell you, they can come crashing down very quickly. But, yeah, I mean, I think there was this fan perspective of Jeff Luhnow as sort of this engineer of greatness in baseball that has come crashing down a bit. And you do have to wonder, I know we talked about it a little bit early in the week, that, how much of that sort of developed in him after he left St. Louis, when it was like, okay, now it's my team and it's my chance to make my impact, versus how much of that was kind of there in St. Louis enough that the Cardinals weren't really upset about him leaving. Like, was there this undercurrent of we got to keep the reins kind of tight on this guy because we don't know what he's going to do before he ever left St. Louis? And, there's different stories and things that have been said in that regard that, obviously, it's easy to say in hindsight, nobody was torching him on the way out. And nobody since then has been talking about what a terrible person that he is. But now all of a sudden that there's been an investigation that confirmed his lack of moral judgment, people are happy to say that he was a problem all along. So you got to kind of take some of that with a grain of salt. Yeah. But it is, you know, it's a lot easier to not say, oh, was Jeff Luhnow the one that got away at this point? Because no, it's a good thing that he didn't ever go any higher within the Cardinals organization. If there was just this blind spot to what is too far. And the unfortunate thing is that all of this is possible because of, I don't know about possible, but it may have advanced as far as it did because of a lack of clarity in the actual rules. You know, at some point you feel like you shouldn't have to tell someone, don't steal someone else's car.
Right.
But if they do it, then you kind of have to work backwards and they go, okay, this is a bad thing. Don't do it. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the situation that baseball is in at this point. The unfortunate thing is that it seems like it's more prevalent and more advanced than anyone was ready to acknowledge. And then you kind of have to figure out how to put that back in a box somehow. Mm-hmm. It was interesting hearing comments from teams and players after Major League Baseball told them not to comment, because that didn't work very well.
No.
But even hearing Mike Schilt's comments this weekend about the fact that they knew this was happening and sort of as a staff had to look at it and go, okay, what are we willing to do? How far are we willing to go? Because we know that the opponent has a greater advantage than we do. And they decided to play within the lines. And I admire that. And I respect that in the staff that exists there in St. Louis. And at the same time, it's just sort of reiterates how frustrating it is that teams knew this was happening. They knew they were at a disadvantage. And the only way to combat that was to also cheat. So I don't know, man. It's going to be an interesting season. A lot of the Houston players who tried to talk their way around the whole thing at their fan fest this weekend are going to learn real quickly. Someone said it on Twitter. It might have been Brandon McCarthy, who said there's a difference in being underdog. Yeah, what I couldn't remember how he said it. There's a difference in nobody believing in you and people actively rooting against you. Mm-hmm. And yeah. They're going to find that out real quick.
I also think it was Colin Gardner who said that the Houston Astros will probably lead the league in hit by pitch.
Oh, yeah.
Which is probably fair.
Yeah. Benches clearing brawls. I don't know how often that's going to happen.
That may go along with the hit by pitch. Yeah. Yeah, there could be some of that. Will note, I'm going to steal your birds on the Black Thunder a little bit, though, here. So we will note that as a group, we got a chance to ask Jomo Zalok questions. And somebody in our group asked about the center field camera and about it being moved. And Jomo Zalok said that it was not there. They didn't have it moved, which is kind of, I think some people thought that after this whole Houston thing started coming out, is maybe the camera got moved so that people couldn't see the signals as much because they couldn't steal that. So
because it was 5 miles away.
Yeah, also true, but whatever. Anyway, Jomo Zalok has also said that he would like to see it back to where it was. That works best for their stuff. And we'll see if it happens. I don't know, but I thought it was very interesting to put those two things together. Cause I think there was some idea that the Cardinals at least had asked, for whatever reason, may not have been for stealing or whatever, that the camera be moved. And it doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah. I'm not saying that Jomo Zalok was not being forthcoming with that answer, but I have been told that the Cardinals made Fox Sports Midwest move the camera. The Cardinals have said Fox Sports Midwest moved the camera of their own volition. So I still don't think we have an answer, which leads me to believe there's more to it than they actually want people to know. Whatever that means, I don't know. Choose your own adventure. But just know, I have personally been told that the Cardinals had them move it Now, I don't know if that's the Cardinals as in like the front office staff or the stadium staff, because it's like physically in a different location where it's not. Anyway, so just know.
I could just see this all situation. These people that will complain all year, and it's all because some usher thought he had a little oomph and he said, hey, dude, you can't be here. Move.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be great. So that would be pretty hilarious.
So the moral of that story is we still have no idea.
Sure. Fine. If you want, you know, if you don't like my stealing your thunder, that's fine. I see how it is there.
Hey, man. Listen, you know. I've no longer asked for anyone to be fired in a long time. So I need something else for John Mozeliak to hate me for.
There you go. Well, when he listens to this one, he's going to come after you for sure. Okay. So,
Bring it on.
That's right. Don't mess with Tara. That's all I got to say. So, all right. And Tara's back on her other life next week. What'd you say? North Carolina this time?
Yes. Yep.
So we will not have a show next week. We'll come back at you. I don't know if we'll do Super Bowl weekend. I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl. I don't. Really,
I can do the Alex thing and watch the Super Bowl and just react to it live on the show.
That's fair. That's fair. It seems to work well for y'all. So
yeah, I've been told it's people's favorite part of the whole show, which makes me feel great about the preparation I put into the actual content. But you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. So, excuse me. So yeah, maybe we'll try that. But we'll be off for a week at least, and it'll be getting closer to pitchers and catchers reporting and. Lots of fun news then, and who knows, maybe we'll have a new third baseman by then. Probably not.
Maybe.
So anyway, for Tara, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey Cardinals fans, thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.